This week's parsha is Parshas Beshalach, and we will focus our shir today on the first pasuk on this week's parsha, which is chapter 13, pasuk number 17. We'll ask several questions on the meaning of the words, and we will give several answers with different interpretations to tell you what they really mean. First, the pasuk starts Vayehi Beshalach Paroi Esoam. And it happened when Paroi sent out the people. We're giving credit for the coming out of Egypt to Paroi. And also it's not written that when Paroi sent out Bnei Israel, Paroi sent out the Am, the people. V'loy nochom Elohim, and Hashem did not lead them derech Eretz Plishtim, in the way of the land of Plishtim. In the simple interpretation, this statement says like that. It's known that the shortest route from the land of Egypt to the land of Israel is by hugging the coast, the Mediterranean coast, and that was the land of Plishtim. But Hashem decided that He's not going to lead us through the land of Plishtim. Why not? Ki korev hu, because it was too near. Ki omar Elokim, because Hashem said, perhaps the people will reconsider when they see a war, and they will go back to Egypt. Now let's go back to the beginning of the pasuk, where it says, Vayehi Beshalach Paroi Esa'am, and it was when Paroi sent out the people. The Talmud in Masechtas Megillah, Daf Yud Omed Beis, brings Omer Rab Levi Veitemer Rab Yoinesen. Rab Levi says, and some say Rab Yoinesen says, Dovar Zeh, the following statement, Mesoris Beyodeinu Masha Knesses Hagadoila, it's a tradition in our hands from the people of the Great Assembly. Kol Mokom Shenemar Vayehi, every time the Torah says Vayehi, Enoi Eloloshen Tsar, it only means a language of pain. And the Marsho explains that the language Vayehi is a combination of two names, Vay, which is meant woe, and He, which is mourning. Vayehi means woe for my mourning, meaning that something painful, something sorrowful is about to happen or is happening. And the Gemara brings a proof from the word Vayehi bimei Achashverosh, and it was in the days of Achashverosh we found that we had trouble from Haman. And even though the Gemara says that only when it says Vayehi Bimei, it was in the days, that is definitely a language of pain. But when it's written the word Vayehi, without the Bimei, not necessarily denotes pain, but we know that there is a certain language that always denotes Simcha, happiness. Vahaya denotes happiness. And Meforshim explained that Vahaya denotes happiness because in the letters Vahaya you have the name of Hashem. You have the Yudke, Vavke, the Vav, the Hey, the Yud, and the Hey, which is the name of Hashem. Therefore, whenever we start with the name of Hashem, obviously that denotes happiness. Then the question is, since we are discussing now our exodus from Egypt, why does the Torah say Vayehi Beshalach Paroi Esa'am, and it was when Paroi sent out the nation? The Torah could have written down Vahaya Beshalach Paroi Esa'am, and it was when Paroi sent out the people. The meaning of the sentence would have been the same, but it would have had a connotation of happiness, meaning that when the Jewish people left Egypt, there was happiness. Why did the Torah choose to put the language of pain when Paroi is sending out the Jewish people? That should really be a language of happiness. Therefore, the Mefarshim struggle to see who is the one crying and saying Vay, and why is the person crying? Meaning that by the Jewish exodus, somebody was crying, and we have to find out who that was and why that was. The first answer that we are going to give is going to be the answer of the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, but in a way of introduction to the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, we have to understand some very odd statements that Moshe Rabbeinu tells Paroi throughout the plagues. Meaning, on every plague that there is a warning, or every communication that Moshe Rabbeinu has with Paroi, Moshe Rabbeinu tells Paroi, send out my nation that they should serve Hashem. For example, the first time Moshe Rabbeinu meets Paroi on chapter 5, pasuk number 1, there it says, Vachar boy Moshe Vaharon, afterwards Moshe Vaharon came, Vayomer Paroi, and they said to Paroi, Koyomar Hashem Elokei Israel, so did Hashem, the God of Israel, say, Shalach Esami, send my nation, Vayechoy Guli, so they may feast with me, celebrate with me, Bamidbar, in the desert. Meaning that Moshe and Aharon are saying that Hashem asked Paroi to send the Jewish people out. And so too, in the plague of Dam, in chapter 7, pasuk number 16, the pasuk says, Omar Toelev should tell to Paroi, Hashem Elokei Oivir Mishlachani, Hashem, the God of the Hebrews, send me Elecho to you, Leimor, saying, Shalach Esami, send my nation, Vayavduni Bamidbar, that they may serve me in the desert, and so forth on the second plague. And in any plague that there was a warning to Pharaoh before the plague came, always the warning was, Pharaoh, please send the Jewish people out, and if you don't send the Jewish people out, I am going to send you this and this plague. And furthermore, the Medrash Rabbah on Tehillim, on Mizmor Kof Yud Gimel, on Psalm 113, which is part of the Hallel, and it says, Hallelujah Avdei Hashem, praise O servants of Hashem, meaning that the Jewish people are servants to Hashem, the Medrash tells you something even more peculiar. The Medrash says that after there was Makas Bechoirois, after the death of the firstborn, Paroi got up and he was looking for Moshe and Aharon's house, and he was able to find it, and he knocked on Moshe and Aharon's door, and he said to them, what is written on chapter 12, pasuk 31, Kumu tsa'u mitoich ami, get up and leave from my nation, gam atem, you, gam bnei Israel, all the Jewish people, ulechu ivdus Hashem kedaberchem, and go serve Hashem as you have said. Moshe and Aharon answered to Paroi, Shoite, fool, calling Paroi fool, v'chi balayla onu oimdim, you think that we are going to get out in the middle of the night? Do you think we are thieves, shenelech balayla, that we should leave during the night? Baboikeranu yoitzim, we are going to leave in the morning. And furthermore, Hashem already told us, va'atem loiteitzu ish mitoch beisoi ad boiker. On chapter 12, pasuk 22, Hashem told us that we should not leave from the door of our houses until morning, then we can't even leave now, because we're supposed to leave only in the morning. Amar lohem, Paroi tells Moshe Vaharon, you have to leave. Harai kvar meisim kol Mitzrayim. All of Egypt is dying. Rashi explains that if there was no firstborn, then the oldest son died. And a lot of Egyptian women used to cheat on their husbands, and there were multiple firstborns on the same house, meaning that a person could have three children, but since the wife cheated with somebody else, then the second child is going to be the firstborn to the person she cheated with. Then we have many firstborns in one house from different men. And the Egyptian thought that kulanu meisim, that we all dying. Moshe Vaharon says only the firstborn is going to die. And here we see that everybody is dying. Omru loi, so Moshe and Aharon tell Paroi, Mevakesh ato lichlois hamakas hazeh, do you want to stop this makah? There is one clear way that you could stop this makah, is by a moir, by saying, Harei atem bnei choirim, you are free men, Harei atem birshuschem, you are on your own, Vein atem avodai, you are not my slaves, Elo avdei Hashem, but the slaves of Hashem. Meaning that you have to openly renounce the Jewish people that they are not slaves anymore of Paroi, that you are giving up on them being your slaves. That is the only way that the Makkah is going to stop, that the plague that is affecting the Egyptians is going to stop. The Medrash continues that Hischil Paroi Tzavach, Paroi started right away to scream, V'oimer, L'sheovar, in the past, Hayisem Avodai, you were my slaves. Aval Achshov, but now, Ariatem Bnei Choirim, you are free men, Ariatem Birshuschem, you are on your own, Ariatem Avdei Hashem, you are the slaves of Hashem. And the Yalkut Shimonim Parshas Bo explains that the voice of Paroi was carried out supernaturally to all the Jewish people. All the Jewish people heard this proclamation and they already started celebrating at this point. Nonetheless, we see that even after all the plagues, even after Makas Bechoiros, and Hashem already told us that we are going to be freed after this Makkah, still we couldn't leave until Paroi says these words. If Paroi wouldn't say these words, Ariatem Rechorim, Ariatem Brishuschem, Veinatem Avodai, that you are free men, you are on your own, meaning you belong to yourself, you are not my slaves, it seems like you wouldn't be able to leave. And that is consistent if Moshe Rabbeinu always asking Paroi to send out the Jewish people. What was so important that Paroi had to say the words? We know that Hashem is the one that has the power to take us out. Why was Hashem insistent that we should not leave until Paroi says these words? The Parashas Drachim explains that it was necessary for Paroi to give us the permission to leave, because without us receiving explicit permission from Paroi to leave, we wouldn't be able to take the wealth of Egypt. And he explains that in the Torah there is a specific law that when you have a slave and he worked his time, that you are required to give him a bonus. And that is found on Dvorim chapter 15, Pasuk number 13 and 14. V'chis shalchenu chavshi me'imach, when you send away the slave free from you, meaning when he completes his time, lo'is shalchenu reikom, do not send them empty-handed. Hanek tanek lo, you should surely adorn them. Mitzoyncha, from your sheep, migornecha, from your threshing floor, mikvecha, from your wine cellar. Asher berechecho Hashem Elokecho, according to what Hashem has blessed you. Titen lo'i, you should give to him, meaning that you require to give a bonus when you free a slave. And the pasuk there continues, v'zocharto, you should remember, ki evet o'iso beretz Mitzrayim, that you were a slave in the land of Egypt. V'ivdecho Hashem Elokecho, and Hashem freed you. That's why I'm commanding you to do this thing today, because you were a slave in Egypt and Hashem freed you. Therefore, Hashem is commanding you to give a bonus to the slave. Rashi explains, based on the Sifri, that the connection that you have to give a slave parting gifts with Hashem taking us out of Egypt is that when we left Egypt, Hashem gave us parting gifts, a bonus, after we complete our term of slavery, and that was the wealth we took out of Egypt. Therefore, you should do the same thing for your slave, that since Hashem gave you parting gifts when you left slavery, you are required to give your slave, after he works his 6 years, parting gifts. According to this, the Parashas Drachim explains that that is exactly why Hashem needed that Paroi tells the Jewish people that they are free men. Because the halacha is that if a slave runs out mid-term, meaning a normal slave is supposed to work for 6 years, and after he finishes the 6 years, you're supposed to set him free, and also you are supposed to give him, when you set him free, parting gifts, meaning you are supposed to give him a bonus. But let's say the slave runs away in middle of the term, after 3 years he runs away, after 5 years he runs away, you are not required to give him the parting bonus because he did not complete his time. You don't have to give him a bonus because the bonus only comes when he completes his term. But let's say the slave did not run away, but the owner decided after 3 years that the slave is too burdensome, it's too hard, and he doesn't need a slave anymore, and he wants to free the slave. In this case, the owner is required to give him parting bonuses because he's the one who freed the slave before its time. Therefore, since Hashem wanted that the Jewish people should get the wealth of Egypt, and that was supposed to be the bonus for all the years that they worked in slavery, as Rashi describes, it was a requirement that Paroi actually kicks them out, that Paroi tells them that you are free, that you are Bnei Choirim, you are for yourself, and we did not run away. Because if we run away, then we are not entitled for the bonus. But now that Paroi himself freed us, then we are entitled for the bonus. And that's why even though Hashem could take us out of Egypt, every time Moshe Rabbeinu goes to Paroi, he tells Paroi, send out the people like that Paroi is sending of his own free will, and we are going to be entitled to the bonus. Even after all the makas, Moshe Rabbeinu still asks Paroi to send out the Jewish people and tell them they are free, like that they'll be entitled to the bonus. I once heard the same logic that the Parashas Drachim says, that had Paroi not sent us out, we wouldn't have gotten the reward, but based on a different principle. And the principle is based on the Gemara in Sanhedrin of Tzadik Aleph Omed Aleph. There the Gemara says that the Egyptians came in front of Alexander Mogdon, Alexander the Great, to judge against the Jewish people. Meaning, Alexander the Great was king of the whole world, and the Egyptians decided to put a claim against the Jewish people for something that the Jewish people wronged them long time before. And their claim was based on the parsha of last week. Last week it says that Hashem asked us to borrow vessels of gold and vessels of silver from the Egyptians. And it actually says on Pasuk number 36 of chapter 12 that Hashem gave the grace in the eyes of the Egyptians, and they lend us their vessels of gold and silver, and we cleaned off Egypt, meaning that we took all the vessels of gold and silver from the Egyptian people. The Egyptians came in front of Alexander the Great, and they said that the Jewish people borrowed those vessels, and we never gave them back. They went to Alexander the Great to demand that the Jewish people give back to the Egyptians the vessels of gold and silver. The Gemara says that there was this man called Gvia ben Psisa, who came to the elders and asked the elders permission to defend this case in front of Alexander the Great. And he argued, since I'm a commoner, if I lose the case, then the Jewish people will be able to say that you defeated, you bested in your arguments, a commoner. But if I win this argument, then people will say that the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu won the argument against the Egyptians. The rabbis gave permission for Gvia ben Psisa to go argue in front of Alexander the Great. He comes in front of Alexander the Great and tells the Egyptians, where is your proof that we borrowed gold and silver from you? They said, our proof is from the Torah. Then Gvia ben Psisa says, then my defense will be also only from the Torah. He said that further on, in the same chapter, the Pasuk in verse number 40 writes that Umoyshav b'nei Yisrael asher yashvu b'mitzrayim, and the total time that the Jewish people spent in Egypt was 30 shana v'arba me'ah shana, was 430 years. Meaning that the Pasuk says that after 430 years that we spent in Egypt, then the Jewish people were freed. I must put a parenthesis that all Meforshim asked that we were not in Egypt for 430 years. We are only there for 210 years. And Meforshim give different answers. See Rashi and the Vilna Gaon. But that is not in the scope of this shiur. Going back to our Gemara, Gvia ben Psisa tells the Egyptians, give us the wages of 600,000 people that worked for 430 years, and then we'll talk about returning the vessels of gold and silver. Alexander the Great told the Egyptians to give an answer to the Jewish people, meaning now the Jewish people are putting a greater claim on the Egyptians because the value and the worth of 600,000 people working day and night for 430 years is much larger than the value of the vessels of gold and silver that the Jewish people took, the Egyptians asked permission for 3 days to give an answer. After 3 days, they couldn't find an answer, and they had to run away. The Gemara says they ran away, and they left their vineyards planted and the fields planted, and that year was a Shemitah year, and the Jewish people were able to use those fields in order to support the people in Eretz Israel. Just as an aside, it's interesting that the Jews in Eretz Israel in those days did not rely on Heter Mechira and Oitzer Bezen, and since they did the mitzvah Shemitah the proper way, Hashem made a miracle that they found the fields plowed and ready to go in the land of Egypt. But from this story, Sefer Leket Shmuel concludes that the fact that we are able to take the vessels of gold and silver from Egypt is basically the wages for the years that we worked in Egypt. And in truth, this is the simple interpretation that you could give on the pasuk that's written on Bereishis chapter 15, pasuk number 13 and 14, in the Bris Ben Absarim, covenant between the parts, where Hashem tells Avraham Avinu that stranger will be your children in a land that's not theirs, and they'll afflict them, they'll enslave them for 400 years. And then the pasuk continues, and also the nation that enslaved them I will judge. And then they will go out with a huge wealth. It seems to imply that the huge wealth is wages for working 400 years. Comes out according to this, that we had a contract with the Egyptians, that we will work 400 years, and after we work 400 years, they will give us a huge wealth. If the rule is the rule of a contract, then we have to follow the other rules of a contract, meaning that let's say I have a house to build and I hire an electrician to do the job. We make up that the job is going to cost $10,000, meaning that after the electrician completes his job, I'm required to give him $10,000. What happens if the electrician performs 50% of the work and he walks off the job and he comes to me and demands that I pay him $5,000 or that I pay him the whole job? Then I, as the owner, am entitled to tell the electrician that I will hire somebody to finish the job, and whatever the person charges me to finish the job will be deducted from the wages of the electrician, meaning that now I have 50% of the job to be completed. If I find somebody to make this 50% for $5,000, then the electrician gets $5,000 and this new person gets $5,000. But let's say that somebody charges me in order to complete the job $7,000. Since my contract electrician was $10,000, then I deduct $7,000 I pay for this new person and I give $3,000 for the electrician. Or let's say this person charges me $10,000 to complete half the job, then I give this new person $10,000 and I pay nothing to the electrician because it's his fault, he walked off the job. But now let's say the situation is reversed. The electrician is doing the work and is doing the work properly, and now the owner, I decide to cancel the electrician. For whatever reason, for example, I say I can't afford it, I say I'm going to financial problems, and so on. But the electrician has a contract with me to finish the job for $10,000. The rule is that the electrician is entitled to collect $10,000 for the job, because since that is the contract, he's entitled to collect. I threw him off. That doesn't make a difference. He's still entitled to collect the value of the contract since he was willing to do the job. According to this, they explain that this is what happened by Hashem asking Paroi to send the Jewish people out. Since we had a contract that only after we finish the contract, then we'll come out of a huge wealth, meaning the contract was that we'll work for 400 years, and after 400 years, we'll receive the wages, the huge wealth which was the wages, then had we left in the middle on our own, we wouldn't be entitled for the amount of the contract. Paroi could have said that I'm going to hire somebody else to complete the job, and whatever it's missing, then I will give you the money. But we are not entitled to come out with a huge wealth automatically. But now that Hashem asked Paroi to send us out, meaning that Paroi had to make the statement, I'm sending you out, you are free, you are on your own, meaning that Paroi kicked us off the job. Paroi is the one that had to kick us out. Hashem couldn't take us out because that would be tantamount of us canceling the contract, but by Paroi kicking us out from the land, then Paroi canceled the contract. Once Paroi cancels the contract, we are entitled to receive the full wealth, the full wages. That's why Hashem always asks Moshe Rabbeinu to please go to Paroi and ask Paroi to send the people out, even though Hashem could take us out on his own. But he wanted to effectuate, to make sure that we receive the contract through legal means. Therefore, it was required that Paroi kick us out. And that is the reason why this week's parsha starts. Vayi b'shalach Paroi es'am. It was when Paroi sent out the nation. Not that Hashem took out the nation. It was required that Paroi sends out the nation, either because of the Parashas Drachim, because like that we are entitled to receive the bonus, or because like that we are entitled to receive the wages, which was the wealth of Egypt. But Paroi himself did not understand this reason that we mentioned. Dorachai Makodesh explains that since Hashem always is asking Paroi to let the Jewish people go, Paroi didn't know the reason why Hashem is asking, but Paroi thought that Hashem doesn't have the power to take the Jewish people out, that only Paroi has the power to kick out the Jewish people, and the Jewish people are dependent on the will of Paroi. Paroi, in a way, in this regard, is stronger Kavayachal than Hashem. That's what Paroi thought. Therefore, always Hashem is asking Paroi to send out the people, even though Hashem is making all the plagues. Why can't he take them out? That itself served to harden the heart of Paroi, that he wouldn't send out the Jewish people because he thought that he has more power than Hashem, and Hashem's power is limited. And also, since Paroi is the one that has to give permission for the Jewish people to leave Egypt, Paroi mistakenly thought, says Dorachaim, that it's in his power to take the Jewish people back, that any time that he wants, he could chase after the Jewish people because he was the one who sent them out and not Hashem took them out. Therefore, he is able to take them back. By him thinking that, that caused Paroi to chase after the Jewish people. And because of that, there was woes, there was pains, meaning that Paroi ended up in trouble, that his nation all died. The Jewish people ended up in trouble, that they were scared from the Egyptians chasing them. They were scared that the Egyptians are going to kill them. And Hashem had trouble, Kavayachal, that Hashem was saddened to see the Egyptians drowned, as the Gemara brings down, that Bikshu Malachai Hasharas Loimer Shira, that the angels wanted to sing a praise to Hashem when the Egyptians were drowning. Hashem told them, Masa Yadi Tove Bayam, my creation is sinking in the sea, is drowning in the sea, V'atem Omrim Shira, and you are going to sing praises for me, meaning that Hashem is also pained on the fact that he has to kill the Egyptians. Comes out that Vayehi B'Shalach Paroi, it was said when Paroi said, according to Rachaim, it means to say that it was said that Paroi thought that he's the one sending out the Jewish people. And because of that, Paroi suffered, the Jewish people suffered, and Kavayachal, Hashem suffered also. The Alshach explains that the reason it's a language of pain is because this is eventually going to be a pain for the Jewish people. Meaning, since the Torah writes down Vayi b'shalach Paroi es'am, that Paroi is the one that sent out the people, the Jewish people thought that Paro is sending out of his goodwill, that Paro is friendly with us, and he finally decided to give us a break and send us out from this enslavement. Therefore, because we thought that Paro has peace with us, we mistakenly thought, and every time that we had troubles, we wanted to go back to Egypt, because we thought, since Paro is such a good guy that he gave us permission to go out, obviously he'll be happy if we come back and he'll treat us nice when we come back. But had Hashem taken out forcibly from Paro, then the Jewish people would have understood that Paro hates us and Paro wants nothing to do with us, and the Jewish people would have never thought, whenever they were faced with trouble, that there is a possibility and an option to go back to Egypt. The other interpretation is that the Jewish people cried Vai, and the reason that the Jewish people cried Vai is because, since it was already predicted that they are going to be slaves for 400 years, but in actuality they were only slaves for 210 years. And the reason was that the Jewish people had degraded to such a spiritual level that they were now in the 49th level of spiritual impurity. And had they stayed a little bit longer, they couldn't have been redeemed anymore. And Hashem was forced to redeem us before the time. But since this wasn't the ultimate redemption, therefore Hashem did not redeem us directly by himself. He sent Moshe Rabbeinu to redeem us. And when Hashem appeared to Moshe Rabbeinu and he said that he is going to redeem the Jews, Moshe Rabbeinu was wondering, how is it possible that the Jewish people are going to go out so soon when we only served in Egypt for 210 years? Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu asked them, what is the name of Hashem that you are going to redeem? And Hashem explained that his name is Eyeh Asher Eyeh, I will be that I will be. And that is in chapter 3, verse 14. And Rashi explains, Eyeh, I will be in this tzara, Asher Eyeh, and I will be in the other tzara, meaning I will be in these troubles of Egypt, as I will be in other troubles, meaning Hashem was telling Moshe Rabbeinu that, yes, you're right, it's not yet time for the Jewish people to be redeemed from the 400 years, but I will redeem them now, and I will complete those years in the future, and I'll again have to redeem him in the future. Moshe Rabbeinu does not like this idea, so much so that in the end, on chapter 4, pasuk number 13, he says, Shlachno beyatishlach, please send by whomever you're going to send. And the Psikta Zutra in Shmois Perek Dalet, Divra Maschel Vayom Rabbi, explains that Omar Lefanov, Riboyne Sholoylam, that Moshe Rabbeinu said to in front of Hashem, Shlachno b'yad tishlach b'yad Moshiach shewasid l'galois. Send the redemption in the hands of Moshiach that is going to be the Redeemer. Meaning that Moshe Rabbeinu did not want to go to redeem the Jews, because he knew that if he's going to redeem the Jews now, that is not going to be a full redemption. They will have other troubles in the future. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu wanted that Hashem should send the Moshiach to redeem the Jews. Like that, the redemption is going to be complete. But Hashem does not agree, and Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu to go anyways, and Moshe Rabbeinu eventually goes and redeems the Jews, and he does it by asking Paro to let the Jewish people out. Therefore, because it says Vahi b'shalach Paro, it was when Paro sent out and not when Hashem took us out, caused the Jewish people to cry, because the Jewish people realize, since Paro is the one sending out and not Hashem, then obviously this redemption cannot be complete, because it's not done directly by Hashem. And since this redemption is not complete, then we know for sure that we are going to have to make up the 190 years that we didn't suffer in Egypt in order to get the ultimate redemption. That's why they cried Vai. The Medrash Rabba on this pasuk, Vai b'shalach paro yasa'am, brings one interpretation, Mitzavach Vai, who cried Vai? Moshe Tzavach Vai, Moshe Rabbeinu cried Vai, Shloi Nichnasni L'Eretz Yisrael, that I wasn't be able to come in to the land of Israel. meaning a consequence of Paroi sending out the Jewish people, was that Moshe Rabbeinu could not go into Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, he cried, "Vai, woe for me that I can't go into Eretz Yisrael." And everybody is asking the connection between this statement and Moshe Rabbeinu not going into the land of Israel. The simple interpretation on this Medrash is that the Medrash is not referring on the first statement, Vahi b'shalach Paroi, that it was trouble for Moshe Rabbeinu because Paroi sent out. The Medrash is talking about the second statement, that the second statement says, V'loinochem Elohim derech eretz Plishtim, that Hashem did not take him the short route through the land of Plishtim, which according to the Ibn Ezra, they would be there in about 10 or 11 days, but Hashem instead took him the longer route through the desert, and out of the consequence of them going through the desert, the Jewish people eventually did the golden calf, and because of that, they stood in the desert, and then they had the sin of the spies, which caused them to be another 40 years in the desert, and because of that, they needed eventually water to drink in the desert, and Moshe Rabbeinu in Parshas Chukas made a mistake and he hit the rock instead of talking to the rock, and that caused them to die and stay outside of Eretz Yisrael. Comes out that the cause of all this was because Hashem took him the long route, the route of Eretz Plishtim, and that is why Moshe Rabbeinu cried Tvai. That interpretation, I wanted to say, is based on the Megala Mukois Oifan Chov, where he says that if Moshe Rabbeinu would have gone into Eretz Yisrael, then Moshe Rabbeinu would have built the Beis HaMikdash. And if Moshe Rabbeinu would have built the Beis HaMikdash, then the Beis HaMikdash would have never been destroyed, because the Gemara brings down Masechta Soita Daftes Omed Aleph 9a, the Moshe veDavid, that Moshe Rabbeinu and David HaMelech lo yisholtu sonei b'masa yodeim, that whatever they built, it was never destroyed. And if the Beis HaMikdash cannot be destroyed, then no nation and no people could control the Jewish people. That means that the Jewish people don't have another galus, another exile. But yet, Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu that it's going to be two exiles, because as we mentioned before, Hashem told them that his name is Eyeh Asher Eyeh, I will be that I will be, and that we mentioned in the name of Rashi, that means I will be in this exile as I will be in the future exile, meaning I'll redeem you from the future exile also. And Moshe Rabbeinu actually saw that Hashem did not change his mind, because it was Vayhi b'shalach Paroi esom, that Paroi sent out the people and not Hashem who took out the people from Egypt, meaning that Paroi had to give the ultimate permission, and it was considered as it was done by a human being, and it wasn't done by Hashem. Where it would have been done by Hashem, then it would have been complete redemption. Then Moshe Rabbeinu realized that there has to be another enslavement, another galus, another exile. If there has to be another exile, then Moshe Rabbeinu cannot go into Eretz Yisrael, because if Moshe Rabbeinu goes into Eretz Yisrael and he builds the Beis HaMikdash, the Beis HaMikdash cannot be destroyed. There can be another exile. Then Moshe Rabbeinu realized that now he's going to die Chutz Laretz, that he won't be able to come into Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu cried Vai, because since he saw that the redemption wasn't done by Hashem, it was done by Paroi, he knew that there must be another enslavement, and in order for it to be another enslavement, Moshe Rabbeinu cannot go into Eretz Yisrael, as the Megala Mukos says. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu cried Vai. The Medrash Rabbe, Parsha Chof, Simon Hay, says that Paro is the one that cried Vai. And the Medrash gives us example as somebody was a field, and in that field there is a pile of rocks. He decides that he doesn't want to bother with the field and sells the field to somebody else. That somebody else clears the rocks, and after he clears the rocks, digs a well, and after he takes out the water, he decides to plant vineyards and orchards around it. It was so beautiful that all people who pass by praise this field and this orchard. One day, the original seller who had this field came by and he saw how beautiful this new field is, he started crying, "Why I had such a beautiful treasure under my nose and I didn't see it." Then he cried, "Why?" And the example is that Paroi had the Jewish people amongst him, but he viewed the Jewish people just as a pile of rock. Therefore, he worked with the Jewish people with mortar and bricks, and he didn't give any value to the Jewish people. After the Jewish people went out, the Jewish people became leaders, became princes. They had nice encampments, so much so that even Bilam HaRasha praises the Jewish people and says, "Matoivo Alecho Yaakov, how goodly is your encampment, Yaakov." When Paroi saw them again, he cried, "Why?" That he had such treasure and he did not realize. I wanted to say that from this example of the Medrash, we could learn a very important lesson. Paroi really knew that even if you have a field with rocks, once you clear the rocks and once you dig on the underground, chances are that you are going to find water. Paroi didn't want to exert the effort because he couldn't see the potential of this field, meaning that he only saw a field full of rocks. So too, when we look at another Jew, we may see that this Jew is a sinner, totally involved with physical desires, totally involved with his evil inclination. And as a matter of fact, in Prophet Ezekiel, Yeheskel, chapter 11, Pasuk number 19, there the Pasuk says about the messianic days, Vasiroisias levo even, I'll remove the heart of stone, meaning I'll remove Yo Yetzer Hara, which is equivalent and hard as stone, Venosati lohem lev basar, and I give to them a heart of flesh, meaning that you only have Yetzer Tov. According to this, we could interpret that when you see that the field is full of rocks, mean that this person is totally controlled by the evil inclination. And at that point, we have a choice. We could act like Paroi, meaning we could say we don't want to bother with this field. We don't want to make the investment to teach this person how to behave. We can visualize the potential of this person, even though we know that deep down there is a well within him. He has a spark of Hashem. There is deep down, there is godliness in this person. But we choose to ignore this person, then we are going to do as Paroi, we're going to cry, "Why?" That we had this treasure that we could have helped to uncover and we did not do anything about it. But if we decide to remove slowly the rocks, meaning we slowly get involved with this person and we teach him and remove the sins, and eventually we are able to clean him up and we are able to put a well in him, meaning we are able to teach him Torah, which is compared to water, where he could learn proper halachic, ethical and moral behavior. Then we are able to plant vineyards and orchard, meaning that then this person will be doing Torah, mitzvahs and masim toivim, and we and he will be able to collect its fruit and give pleasure for the owner of the field and the owner of the whole earth, meaning giving pleasure to Hashem for us doing what he tells us to do. And Hashem Yisbaruch should help that we should try to always do his bidding. We should always try to help one another, and also that in the same way that Hashem redeemed us this week from Egypt, we should again be redeemed soon. Moshiach should come, Beis HaMikdash rebuild, b'imheiro b'yomeinu, amen.